Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 314. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 gray co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's going all right. Just a busy time of life, a lot going on, but we're here. We're back talking ball, so can't complain about that. And I'm really excited to be doing so.
Yeah, we've got to do our pitching prospect risers and fallers episode. Did hitting prospects last episode from our recent overall rankings update. So we'll hit the pitching side today. Got 10 names to talk about, 5 risers, 5 fallers, bunch of intriguing names. And we'll get to all that in just a second. But before we do, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com, for more work from each of us, including all of our dynasty and prospect rankings. And of course, check out all the great things going on over at Rotoballer. Use that code TOOLSHED at checkout. Get your 10% off any premium package over at rotoballer.com. And there's so much great stuff pumping out every single day over there. There's a lot of great content creators, great writers, podcasters, etc. So go check that out as well. All right, so we'll start with the risers. Usually we go to the fallers first, but a lot of intriguing names on the risers here. Starting with Zebby Matthews, a.k.a. the guy that doesn't walk anybody. 2 walks this year to 63 strikeouts. Combined the last 2 years, he's over a 10-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. It's absolutely insane. He's made 9 starts this year, 4 for high A Cedar Rapids, 5 for double A Wichita, 138 ERA, 0.69 whip, and that beautiful 63-2 strikeout to walk ratio that I just mentioned. Last year had 112 strikeouts to 15 walks and 105 and a third innings. And Chris, this guy was not very high. Last year he had a solid year last year, but he was a 23-year-old in low A and high A, so didn't really get a lot of love in prospect rankings, and that kind of carried over into this year. He wasn't ranked very highly, or probably was even in a lot of top 300, 400, 500 rankings, but he sure is now. And he's to the point where I think the question is, Zebby Matthews a top 10 pitching prospect? What do you think?
He's in my top 10. He's every bit legit. He's ticked up significantly. He's averaging 95.5 on the fastball, which is up from last year, nearly 2 ticks. And that's pretty notable. Certainly got the starter's frame that you want to see. 6'5", 220. He's a beast on the mound. Just comes at you really quick. And the stuff is there for sure. And it backs the results. Like, it's not just like Zebby's out here like dominating these guys without good stuff. It's really good stuff with absolutely stellar command. It's, I think, arguably the best command of anybody in the minor leagues at this point. And when you talk about the workhorse type frame, when you look at the fastball improvements, when you look at the secondary pitches as well, I think you have to be really excited about what this guy's doing. And I certainly am. I buy it 100% to where I think that he is completely taking off. And he's certainly deserving, in my opinion, to be a top 100 guy. And he's like pushing, I have to look exactly where he is, but he's near 50 overall for me at this point, which is like pretty high. Yeah, I mean, 61, and that's pretty high by pitching standards. That would put him on my prospect list as SP. And these are still guys on the list that are in the majors too, like Paul Skenes. I know there's been a big push to take all these guys off the list completely, but this is including debuted players like Skenes, like Christian Scott, etc. Max Meyer, Hurston Waldrop are included in that group. Now Drew Thorpe. This would put Zebby Matthews as SP12, including guys that are debuted. So I'm looking at that. I think that he is really good. And I think that tells you that I'm fully buying into what Daniel Zebulon Matthews is doing. You can't argue with the results. He's got the fastball. He's got a cutter, slider, change, curve. So five pitches. It's legit. His slider is really good. It's his best bat missing pitch. The fastball is pretty solid as well. And I think when you look at this command, how well he locates everything, the fact that he walks no one, I'm really buying this.
Yeah, like we're talking about easy 70 grade command and control, maybe even higher than that. It's not often that I say 70 grade when it comes to command and control, but that absolutely fits here with, as you mentioned, Daniel Zebulon Matthews. It sounds like a transformer there, Zebulon, or a star region in the galaxy or something like that. But he has been phenomenal to watch this year. And like I said, these are the types of guys, look at all these breakouts this year. This kind of feeds into the not paying up for elite pitching prospects thing that we've talked about in the past, because you get guys like this, maybe not on this level of breakout, but look at all the breakouts we had this year that came out of nowhere almost, with guys like Jonah Tong, Quinn Matthews, George Klassen, Matt Wilkinson, Zebby Matthews, these guys that you could have gotten depending on the depth of your league, maybe even pick them up off the waiver wire or got them for a very cheap cost. And now they're all rocketing up rankings. Some are in the top 100 now. Others are close. And these are guys that I've seen their values just absolutely soar over the last year. So yeah, these are types of guys. It's hard to always pinpoint these guys and get it right every time. But if you can, you know, get a guy or two like this every year, you know, I think that's an easier way to build a good pitching core in your prospect pool, as opposed to trying to go like right now and trading for a Cade Horton or trading for Jacob Mizierowski or something like that. But yeah, Matthews, it's given me Christian Scott vibes from last year. I think he could be a very similar pitcher long-term. We're talking about a guy that has phenomenal command and control of a pretty good arsenal, four pitch mix. He can miss bats. Obviously doesn't give up any free passes whatsoever. Super high floor. Yeah, he's got, and he might even be up. I started adding him to the honorable mentions of my stash list I do on Rotoballer every Tuesday, where, yeah, there's David Festa, who's another guy we'll talk about here in a little bit, that's probably ahead of him in on the depth chart. But it wouldn't surprise me if Matthews got the call later this season or even jumped over AAA. We've seen it before with guys like this. Yeah, he's legit. If that's the question you were wondering about a lot of these guys, is who's legit, who's not, I think when it comes to Zebby Matthews, at least, absolutely 100% legit. Next one on the list here, we got Chase Dolander. I know, Colorado Rockies pitching prospect, but he's the best one they've had since, and Chris, who's like the last pitching prospect? Like the best one since
John Gray.
Yeah, something like John Gray. And when was he a prospect? Back in 2013, 14-ish? I can't remember when he debuted, but it's been a bit, if not a decade, pretty close to it. But you look at what Dolander's doing so far this year. 9 starts for high A Spokane, 46 and a third innings. You got a 291 ERA, 119 whip, 68 strikeouts to 19 walks. This is after a really good career at Tennessee, though the last year he did fall off a little bit. but was still one of the top pitchers taken in that 2023 draft, ninth overall to them. So even with, you see the Rockies, people get instantly turned off, especially with pitching prospects. But is it this a guy that you're actually looking to target right now, Chris, just given maybe he is one of the few that can make it work to some degree at Coors Field?
Oh, yeah. I think that this is the rare case where he can beat Coors Field. Now, beating Coors Field looks different for, you know, yeah, whoever. But think about what John Gray did. John Gray had some seasons where he had, what, 3.6 ERA, 3.7 ERA in Colorado. Yeah, 2017, he was 3.67 across 110 innings. 2019 was a 3.84 ERA. You're going to run higher numbers in Coors. It just is what it is. But I do think that Dolander's capable of putting up ERAs below 4. Like, we're talking about that kind of talent with Chase Dolander. And with that, I think that you're going to get some really good numbers. Also means you're probably going to have some really good road starts as well. So you get 2 starts on the road 1 week, that's golden. And I know it's so hard to roster a Rockies pitching prospect, but I really do think that Dolander's that good. The fastball is mid-upper 90s consistently. It's 97 on average, 98 sometimes. Has the big slider. He has a change. He has a curve. And honestly, what I think the most impressive thing about Dolander for me that I think I've seen this year is his strike throwing has been really good. And he's located the pitch as well. And that's not always been the case. At Tennessee, there were times when he really struggled to find the command. But this year, his strike rate's at 65%. League average is 63. 65 is pretty notable, in my opinion. Swinging strike rate at 20%, that's absolute dominance. I think Dolander needs to be in double A. Now, yesterday, hey, just do it. But I am pretty excited about what Chase Dolander brings to the table. And I think that, yeah, this is the profile that you want if you're looking at a Rockies arm, because he has the stuff. He's the best pitching prospect they've had since John Gray. And it gives him a chance to, and people may say, oh, John Gray was a third overall pick in 2023. John Gray was a top tier prospect. Like, I don't obviously remember where he peaked on, but he was pretty high, I'm almost certain. But yeah, I'm pretty in on John. I'm not in on John Gray's been good, but I'm talking Chase Dolander, not John Gray here. So yeah, I looked back and Baseball America had John Gray 12th in their rankings pre-2024. So that's pretty stout. Yeah, this is a really talented arm in Chase Dolander.
Yeah, and they said after his stock dropped a bit last year, I think people were wondering, was he legit? You know, was his 2022 season that kind of put him as the, you know, guy that was in the running? Like, he was the Skeens before Skeens became Skeens in last year's draft class. And yeah, like, usually you see a guy go to Colorado, and I even did this with Dolander. I had him in my FYPD rankings probably, oh geez, before the actual draft. I think I had him in the late 20s, something like that. And then when he went to Colorado, I dropped him to like the 50s. It was just immediate, like 30 to 35 spot drop just because of the landing spot. But yeah, the fact that he can miss bats, he can keep limit the home runs. He was only giving up 3 so far this year. That's really good to see as well. Yeah, I think he can be a guy that is at least serviceable. You're never going to see a guy become, you know, a fantasy ace and, you know, being on the Rockies. That just never happened. But can he be a guy that gets into Jose Barrios range of production where it's like mid-3 ERA, maybe at a slightly above average K rate, 24-25%? Yeah, I think Dolander can be that guy. And just because he has that COL next to his name, he still gets undervalued and probably underranked as well. So I think you can acquire him for, you know, a reasonable cost right now. And, you know, his price tag would be higher. Chris, let's say he's in any other team, Tampa Bay. You think he's a top 100 overall prospect right now? Probably.
Yeah, he's a top 100 overall guy for me. So probably top 50, top 7 pitching prospect if he was in another org.
But I think for most people, he's probably outside the top 100 and not even sniffing top 10 pitching prospect right now. Yeah, I think he's a good value target right now. And hopefully he does get that bump to double A so I can see him later this year. Once I think Hartford comes here in, I'll say like late July, early August. I got to look at the schedule, but I know they have a trip over here at some point later this summer. So it'd be nice to see, get some live looks there at Shea Stolander. The next guy on the list here is one of the most exciting pitching prospects to watch in all of the minor leagues right now. And that's Noah Schultz, 6'9" lefty on the Chicago White Sox. Chris, they have a thing, don't they? Like, they have a type there with the White Sox, these tall, lanky lefties. And hey, it's worked out so far for them and Chris Sale and now Garrett Crochet. And Noah Schultz looks like he's going to be another stud pitcher in the major leagues here. Guy that's rocketed up to being one of the best pitching prospects in the league right now. This year in 10 starts, 7 of which were for high A Winston-Salem, 3 for double A Birmingham, 3.00 ERA on the nose, 0.77 whip, 56 strikeouts to 7 walks, and he's only given up one run in 11 and two-thirds innings so far in double A. The thing with Schultz, you see a lot of these tall, lanky lefties, most of the time they have a little bit of command and control issues, but Schultz does not. I mean, in addition to being absolutely filthy, he's been shown, you know, pretty good command of his arsenal as well. He's got the fastball, slider, changeup. The slider is absolutely filthy, a wipeout slider, really good changeup with fade and depth as well. And you can say he's at least above average command and control, maybe even plus command and control of this arsenal, which could end up being 3+ pitches. So if you're 3+ pitches and have plus command and control of that, that's going to turn into a pretty damn good pitcher at the highest level. And you probably won't see him this year. And I think maybe he gets up to AAA later this year, and maybe we're talking about him debuting around this time next year, in June, July of next year. Still only 20 years old. He'll be 21 early part of August. But, man, this is a guy that could be – he could be a number one pitching prospect by next month or two. We got Skeens graduating pretty soon, another, what, 2-3 starts or so from Skeens, and he'll be off the list. And then Job's been down a little bit this year and hurt. Same with Cade Horton. Painter's still out. There's an opportunity there for Schultz to take that number one overall pitching prospect spot, Chris.
Yeah, I think that when Skeens graduates, which he's probably getting pretty close, my next guy up is Noah Schultz. He is the number two pitching prospect in my rankings. And Skeens is at 33 1/3 MLB innings, so he'll graduate pretty soon. It's probably looking like 3 more starts for him. He may hit the service time before then. He debuted on May 11th. So 45 days on the active roster would put him probably about the time he hits the innings limit. So you're looking at 2 more weeks. So yeah, with that being said, next guy up, Noah Schultz for me. I saw his last high A start. He got promoted to double that night, actually. Saw the report that he was getting sent to double A Birmingham, which is actually, I think, the best rotation in the minors. I know Drew Thorpe's no longer in it, but that was an insane rotation in Birmingham. But yeah, aside the point, Schultz, 95-96, topping at 98. He gets good arm side run from a very funky release point, very deceptive arm slot. He's so long. He's legit 6'10". You know what I mean? He's going to get that big extension. The fastball plays up beyond the 95-96. That slider, a lot of sweep. It's 79-83. Big sweepy pitch. It just continues to move horizontally and gets a lot of swings and misses. He threw it to both righties and lefties, which I like to see, especially encouraging when I see that. And he throws a changeup in the upper 80s as well. It gets some good fade on it. So Schultz is the real deal. And you mentioned he throws strikes. Like, most guys have no clue where it's going that are that big. Yeah. But Schultz, 66% strike rate in high A. That's plus control if you're looking at just pure number standpoint. And then his starts in double A, it's near 70%, which is elite. So I'm looking at Noah Schultz, and I just think that everything that he's done just looks the part. He gets a ton of called strikes, too. He's so deceptive. He generates a ton of called strikes. I had a 37% CSW in high A, which is elite. That mark, obviously missing bats swinging, but also you're missing bats on call, or you're not missing bats, but you're getting called strikes. That's huge. And I think that Schultz is just the real deal. And they're not going to rush this guy. Let's be honest. He is every bit their future ace, and they're not going to push him. I think that he's going to continue to probably be babied. I hope they take some more training wheels off of him. That would be best case scenario here for Schultz. They let him continue to build up throughout this year, but they've been holding pretty steady with him around like the four inning mark and haven't really let the training wheels off yet. I'd like to see that sooner than later, but regardless, I'm not complaining. The results are there. He's been good, really good in his three AA starts so far. So yeah, I'm pretty amped for Noah Schultz. And I think that he is going to be that top pitching prospect in the game after Skeens graduates.
Yep. No doubt about that. Yeah. I think right now he's in that cluster with Job and Horton and all them for me, but yeah, the arrows are, you know, not trending. I won't say trending down for those guys, but not pointing up right now. Like I said, they've been, you know, a little bit hurt, a little bit down from previous year, and Schultz's arrow is pointing up in a hurry, and he's probably going to pass all these guys and get up and maybe even into my top 20 overall. I mean, I rarely go into my top 20 or so for pitching prospect anymore. Skeens is up there, obviously, but yeah, I think Schultz could be that next guy. It's a really fun pitcher to watch, and yeah, he's definitely becoming a stud before our eyes right now. The next name here, Hayden Birdsong, with the San Francisco Giants, who was just promoted to AAA recently, which really irritated me because they are coming here. AA Richmond was coming here to Portland next week. So I was hoping he'd wait until after I got a live look at Hayden Birdsong, because that AA lineup in rotation has nobody else right now.
Yeah, so I was about to say, they're not good.
No, like, I was like, oh, it's Hayden Birdsong, and then that's it. And now it's just nothing. So that's unfortunate. But at the same time, Hayden Birdsong has been pretty good for the last, really since the start of last year. He had a 3.31 ERA and a little over 100 innings last year. This year, 2.05 ERA in 11 starts for AA Richmond, 48 and a third innings, whip of 110, 61 strikeouts to 20 walks. So walk rate right around 10%. It was a tick over 10% last year, but he continues to miss bats, 210 strikeouts combined in his last 149 innings. So this is a guy that we could see up with San Fran at some point later this summer. He's been not being pushed, but he hasn't spent more than 7-8 starts, well, 11 at AA, but hasn't really spent a lot of time at any level. So they are moving him a little quickly, and we could see him later this year. But not a guy that's, you know, like a top 10 pitching prospect. I have him more. Where do I have him? He's probably more like a top 30 or so pitching prospect for me right now. But a guy that's just, every time I update my rankings, just slides a little bit further up, another 15, 20 spots up, to where this guy could be top 100 pretty soon here. He's in my top 150 now. So where do you have Hayden Birdsong, Chris? You have him higher than that?
Yeah, he's just inside my top 100 overall right now. He's certainly looking the part at this point, and I'm really buying what I've seen, because it's a big sample at this point. It's not like he just broke out this year. Like, we're not talking about a one-year sample on him. I think now we're looking at a full two-year sample of what he's done, and I think that he's been very impressive at all stops. He's young. He's 22 years old and spent the year in AA so far, been rather dominant, and last year was much of the same. He did actually struggle a bit upon his AA promotion last year, but he's not looked like that's been an issue since he came back up. It actually was some bad luck. He had a 3.45 BABIP against in 23 AA innings and a 52% strand rate, which are just pretty wild. For reference, his ERA was 5.48. His FIP was 3.36. So two run lower FIP than his ERA in AA last year. So that context, I think, is pretty important. He doesn't walk a ton of guys. Strike rate's right at league average. And I know you look, and so the walk rate's 10% this year, like whatever, but he struck out over 30% of batters every year at every stop. When I see Hayden Birdsong, I just look at the arsenal. It's a mid-90s fastball. It's a legit fastball, too. It's got good carry to it. He's a bigger starter frame as well, so he gets the most out of his fastball and arsenal in general. He throws a big curveball, a lot of depth to it. I think that pitch is one of his better swing and miss pitches, and it makes a slider in as well. The changeup, still a work in progress. Not a great pitch. If he can develop that further, it would be a really solid arsenal. But, yeah, I mean, you'll see it Statcast data will be public for his AAA start. You'll be able to see a little more of that. But yeah, the arsenal is extremely good. And you know, I think that it's just a well-rounded profile that I want to invest in.
Yeah. And San Fran has done a pretty good job developing pitching prospects, you know, over the last, you know, several years or so. And yeah, Birdsong, he popped up last year. I was more like, oh, look, the last name is Birdsong. That's cute. And you know, he's starting to do well. And now it's just continuing. He's been pitching well for, like you said, it's been a year and a half now. This is not a small sample size. He's got a good fastball, a couple good breakers. And yeah, I think he's going to be a guy that always misses bats at an above average clip because he has that good feel for spinning a breaking ball. And yeah, I think he's very legit and still being a bit undervalued. And same with this guy, too. We started with a Minnesota pitching prospect in this section. We'll end with one with David Festa, 6'6 right-hander, just turned 24 before the season started. He's done 12 starts so far with AAA St. Paul, 356 ERA, 140 whip. Yeah, that whip's a little high, but doesn't tell the whole story here. 71 strikeouts and 24 walks for David Fest, a guy that's on the cusp of maybe he is the next guy up if Minnesota needs an arm. And again, I think he's another guy, the common theme here with these guys, that doesn't get as much love as he should. And I was even guilty of that, you know, up until recently. I gave him a pretty solid bump here in my June prospect rankings. And I think he's another guy that's in that top 100 discussion right now. He's got a pretty good three-pitch mix. Not one pitch wows you. He's really good across the board. The one just one issue is, can he keep that walk rate in check? As you saw with the walk rate total I mentioned here, he's at 24 and 48 innings. So that equates out to, I guess that's what, about 13% here. Okay, a little bit, 11.8%. So not terribly high, but had a walk rate over 10% last year as well. It's not a major red flag. It's not 15, 16% like Mick Abel, who we'll be talking about here in a little bit. Spoiler alert. But you know, that's just the one thing that see him maybe trim that walk rate a little bit. Solid arsenal, solid starter's frame there. And the guy that, again, we could see with Minnesota as soon as the next few weeks, probably.
Yeah, I'm not going to be shocked at all when he gets called up to make his debut pretty soon. Festa's legit. Yeah, I think that. Yeah, the walk rate is concerning. His strike rate's right at league average, better than league average, 64%, which is weird. I do think the ABS is just – the ABS in AAA sucks. Yeah. And look at it last year. Festa was in AA. He posted a 9.6% walk rate. We went to AAA, a smaller sample, but he jumped to 16.7%. They screwed with the zone even more this year. And, man, people have complained and complained – about the ABS in AAA. And part of me thinks that's affecting it. I really do. I'm curious to, I would have to do some looking because he's got some starts that are like a ton of one walk starts. And I would have to look at the calendar and see if those were the starts when it was the challenge system and not the ABS playing in, because that also could be a thing. And that crazy enough, it's crazy that we even have to think about that or worry about that. But that's the kind of thing that we're playing with here with the ABS system is the fact that, yeah, it's a real possibility that the days that they're using the challenge system, he's performing a lot better. Get to the majors, don't have to worry about that. And no, I don't think they're going to, and that's a good question. I don't think they're going to implement the ABS at the major league level. There's no way they just do the robo ump. Maybe the challenge system. I like the challenge system personally, but full ABS, I don't see it. Fest is going to be fine. Fest is really good. It's a really good fastball, 96, 97, big slider at 87. The changeup sits in that same velo band, 87, but good horizontal separation between the two. Festa is an easy invest for me. Like, he's been somebody that I've been invested in heavily for a long time. And I think that he just looks the part. So I'm rather in on him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy that, you know, I think could be just like a really good number three starter in the major leagues. I don't think he's going to be a frontline guy, but you know, there's a lot to like here with David Festa for sure. Moving over to the fallers here, we got five of those as well, starting with Robbie Snelling from the San Diego Padres, who blossomed last year as a 19-year-old across three levels, got to AA last year, and had a 182 ERA in 22 starts. And again, that vaulted him to being even a top five pitching prospect in some rankings, and I had him right there as well. I forget if he peaked at number five or number six, but this year has not gone quite as well in Double A San Antonio. 10 starts, ERA a tick over five at 5.06. WHIP is also high at 154. The walk rate has skyrocketed this year, and the K rate has dropped accordingly. What are you making right now of Robbie Snelling, Chris? Obviously, last year, I don't think was a fluke. I'm not going to say that. I believe in what I saw from Snelling last year. He got a really good fastball breaking ball mix there that he can miss bats with. But this year's been a little rough. How much stock are you putting into what you've seen from him this year as opposed to last year?
It's interesting. He was so good last year. He was like best pitcher in the minors good last year.
Yep.
And then it's all really come crashing down this year. And it's been a real mixed bag of results. A lot of walks. We saw that in Double A though last year when he did make the jump. Small sample, but the walks skyrocketed. Seeing it again this year, 11%. Where did the strikeouts go? That's a question. Is he is not missing bats at all? His swinging strike rate is really bad. It's down to 10.5%, which is strange. He didn't have a super high swinging strike rate last year, but it's 14% in single A and then 12% in high A and double A. But this year, down below, almost below 10. Really strange to look at and see. When I look at the profile, like nothing really jumps off the page of me that he's like struggling with or anything. He's throwing strikes at a league average rate. He's not missing bats. Not really getting any called strikes either. I think that Snelling may have got figured out a bit. I do think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to bounce back, but maybe he's not deserving to be in that top tier. Like I, at one point thought, I really thought that he was somebody that should be in that top tier of pitching prospects, but yeah, right now doesn't really look like it, sadly. I hope he bounces back. He's last start, three earned over six innings with 6K, but still three walks. And yeah, right now it hasn't looked good. He did start out the year pretty strong, and then after those first three starts faded a bit. So yeah, I'm concerned. My concern level for Robbie Snelling's probably 5 or 6 out of 10. It's not like super high, but we'll say 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I was like 4 or 5. There's definitely some concern not missing as many bats and having the walk rate go up. But again, I don't think last year was a fluke either. I think there's still a lot to like here in the profile. I think there's still plenty of upside. Maybe we did go a little bit high on him in rankings, but with how he pitched last year, I thought it was pretty warranted. I don't think it was crazy to have him as a top five pitching prospect, you know, after last year, heading into this year. But you know, I think if his value dropped enough in your league, I wouldn't be opposed to buying low right now if that price point is good. But yeah, it's been a little bit rough for Mr. Robbie Snelling this year. Speaking of rough, it's been really rough for this guy, Will Warren of the New York Yankees, who was a guy that was trending up heading into 2024, but has a 7.24 ERA in 12 starts with a 1.52 WHIP. Just most, he's only had, you look at his game log here this year. Let's see, he started out the year bad off the bat, 5 earned with only 1 out recorded. He's had a couple, he had a couple good starts, so 3 good starts in a row in mid to late April. Then had a streak of 6 earned, 8 earned, 9 earned, and 7 earned in 4 straight starts. That's rough. I don't know what that ERA equates out to, but probably teen or something like that. Last two have been a little bit better, 2 earned and 4 2/3, but also had 4 walks that outing as well. And this last outing was maybe one of his best outings of the year. 5 2/3, 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. He has a little bit older. He'll be 25 shortly here on, actually in, shortly, I say he'll be 25 on the 16th of June, so a couple of days here on the weekend. What are you making of Will Warren this year, Chris? Again, the numbers are not good, and then that's putting it nicely, but do you think there's some bounce back appeal here with Will Warren?
It's got to get better, right? It's been
you'd think, but
atrociously bad. I'm pretty highly concerned with Warren. His last start was a nice bounce back, 0 earned over 5 2/3 with 9K and 1 walk. That was much welcomed after he had starts here, four consecutive starts of 6 earned, 8 earned, 9 earned, and 7 earned. Rough stretch there. Warren is weird to peg down. What happened? Like, this guy was feeling like he was going to potentially break camp with the Yankees when they needed an arm. I thought that he could fit in that rotation. Right now, doesn't look like it. Yeah, hoping that he can figure out the walk issues. That's really one of the bigger things plaguing him is the walks. But everything across the board just ticked down. He looked the part. I saw his first pro start, actually, when Hudson Valley was in Greenville. He, you know, didn't debut his draft year and then started the next year. Hudson Valley was down here. It just popped off. I'm like, this kid's pretty interesting. And since then, like, I was like, all right, I'm rather in on this guy. But yeah, you look, and the reality is that, you know, he's not missing a ton of bats. The sinker, four seam, are getting hit pretty hard. The sweeper is the bread and butter here. That's got to be the pitch that misses the most bats. And it does. It's got a 20% swing strike rate against it, which is really good. You have to be there, but he's not throwing enough strikes with it, is the issue. And then you kind of look at the other pitches and it's like, all right, the fastball just ain't working. Like, we need you to throw the fastball a little bit less. And he's throwing too many fastballs, and the sinker especially is getting beat up. The day, I hope that they'll work through this. The Yankees need to play with some things in his pitch mix, that sort of stuff, get figured out. But you know, right now I've given Will Warren a decent drop, and I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a lot concerned, actually. I'm like 7 out of 10 concerned.
Yeah, I think I'd say it's got to be at least a 7 right now. This was a guy that was, I think, early in the year I never had him top 100, but I think he was like 110, 115 range. And now, I mean, I still have him right around 200 overall. Maybe that's even too high right now. I'm just holding a hope that we saw from him last year was not, you know, has not just gone by the wayside, and then that Will Warren's gone. That's why I've kept him in the 200 range for now. And hopefully that one start he had the other day can get his season turning around a little bit here. But yeah, it's been very concerning right now for Will Warren. And next guy up, Ty Madden, another 24-year-old, this one with the Detroit Tigers. Coming off pretty solid years in 2022 and 2023 in low A, high A, and double A those years. And so went back to double A this year, which was a weird move after he was there all of last year. Pitched pretty well, but had four starts in double A ERA, 255 ERA, 22 strikeouts to three walks in 17 and two-thirds innings. Then he finally gets the bump to triple A, and oh my word, it has been absolutely terrible since then. Seven starts with a 782 ERA, still has 30 strikeouts in 25 and a third innings, but 17 walks. This guy did have a little bit of a higher walk rate last year, a little over 10%. Not terrible, but never been a big command and control guy. But similar to Festa, like, how much of this do you think is the ABS system, Chris, factoring into Madden? Are you still a believer? I know you were a pretty big Madden guy as well, as we both were. Are you still a big Madden guy, or are you a little bit concerned from what you've seen from him so far in AAA?
I think you have to be at least a little concerned. I haven't dropped him like significantly. He did take a hit, like you have to, given when you pitch like that. But here's the difference. Like, it's pretty stark, the difference between AA and AAA. He walked 4.4% of batters in AA, which is crazy. His strike rate in AA was 67% with an 18% swinging strike rate. And then you jump to AAA and it's like, what just happened? Like, how did he jump 10 percentage points in his walk rate? And no, Ty Madden was not going to be a 4.4% walk rate. We've never seen that at any point of his career. So that wasn't the expectation. But Ty Madden has been like a 8% walk rate guy his entire career.
Yep.
That's more the expectation. So you expect some regression to that. But to drop your strike rate from 67% to 58.5%, it tells me, I think, that the zone's a little different. We know the zone is different. That's a fact. They tell us where the zone is and how it plays. And when you're pitching one way, like when you're used to a certain zone and pitching a certain way and it's working, and then you drop down and you have to totally redo things, like, man, this is really tough. Major drop in strike rate, major drop in swinging strike percentage as well. He's allowing a lot of hard contact. He's also been a bit unlucky. He's got a 360 BABIP against, which 300 is something that we should expect. So anything higher or lower, sometimes you can expect regression to the mean. You know, some guys can run lower BABIPs. Some guys run higher BABIPs, depending on the batted ball distribution. But, man, it's been weird for Ty Madden to see the stark differences between double and triple A. He has been better his last two times out, which has been encouraging. Three innings, one earned with 8 strikeouts in his 2 starts ago. And then his most recent start, 1 earned over 5 innings with 4 strikeouts. So those were 2 positive starts from him. I am hoping that he gets back on track because I really do believe in the stuff. I love his fastball. I think the slider's really good. He has a true 5-pitch mix as well with good command. The command is good despite what you've seen in AAA. I believe there's much more here with Ty Madden. I think Ty Madden does bounce back. I really do. I think he probably gets a chance in the majors this year too. I think he's probably up before Jackson Job. See, Job still working back from injury, but you look and I think that this may be one of those things where we see more teams skipping players over AAA with the ABS how it is right now, like especially arms. Wouldn't be shocked at all if you see some guys jump. And we saw it. It's a perfect example. He didn't need to pitch in Charlotte. Jump him straight from AA to the majors, and he pitched good. I think that you'll see more of this. I think you're going to see more arms that are getting really screwed with in AAA. It's really messing with their head too. So wouldn't be shocking to me one bit.
Yeah, and that's same here. I think you're going to start seeing more of that. We'll see if that happens here. Next name on the list, we got Mick Abel with the Philadelphia Phillies. Yeah, that's been a steady free fall basically for the last full calendar year or so in my rankings, and I'm sure in everyone's rankings as well. It's so much upside. He was taken 15th overall back in the shortened 5-round 2020 draft class. And started off his minor league career, never had that one dominant year. The upside was always there, and he hoped that he would figure out the command and control, but that just has not happened, and it's even gotten worse. I think this year has been the worst year of his career. He's in AAA right now, and I don't even think it's just a AAA thing. It's just he's getting worse every year type of thing. 45 2/3 innings, 6.31 ERA, 1.84 whip, 39 strikeouts, to 33 walks. So he's not even missing bats at a good clip anymore. That's the one thing he had going for him. Even in the past couple of years, he still had a decent strikeout rate, even when he had the high walk rate. In last year, the walk rate was, 13.5%, which is that's definitely in the red zone. And this year, it's gone up to 15.3%. And again, the strikeout rate has dropped down to 18.1%, so a below average K right now as well. I've seen Abel live, I think, 3 times now, all of which were last year when he was in AA, and it was the same thing every time. I mean, the stuff was impressive. I mean, his stuff moved. Like, fastball had good run on it, curveball, slider. I mean, he had good stuff, but he just never knew where it was going. In fact, his walk rate continues to get worse and worse. It's gone from thinking, all right, maybe he'll be a good reliever, to the point where I'm wondering now, if is he even an impactful major league arm in any capacity at this point? Can he even make it? Sure, he'll probably get called up at some point, maybe, but is the future for him even any type of impactful arm? That's the question we have to ask now, and it's to the point where I don't even know if I want to rank him. He could be out of my top 500 altogether by the end of this year. He's still in the 300 range right now, but he's dropping 50 plus spots every update. So maybe this doesn't turn around end of the year. He's not even in my 500. Now, where do you have him, Chris?
Let's see. I think he's around like 250, 278. So pretty substantial fall for Mick Abel. And he was so talented. I'm not saying he's not talented anymore, but he showed it early on. He showed the flashes of being that guy that really had the upside. And the bat missing ability slowly ticked back. Abel's throwing strikes at a 56% clip, which is, I don't know, 30 grade. He's not missing any bats. His swing and strike rate is 8%, is not good. Here's the most concerning thing of all. His velo is way, way down. I don't know where the velo went, but we're talking somebody that was consistently mid-90s to averaging 93.5. That's massively concerning. Like, not a tick down. If it was one tick down, then like, all right, I'm good. But he set 95 to 97 last year, topping it 100. He's averaging 95 or 93.5. That's a massive drop in velo. In the process, though, he hasn't harnessed the command of it at all.
That's what I was thinking. Was that an effort to try to, hey, maybe if I drop the velo a little bit, I can throw more strikes. But if that was, and who knows, that might not been the case. Even if it was, it didn't work.
It's bizarre. I have no idea what's going on here. That drop in velo tells me that there might be an injury, but he's not really showing me signs of it. I don't know. It's not looked good at all. Let's not act like this is the first time he struggled either. It's not. He's consistently put up big walk rates his entire career. Last year, it was 13.5%. And that was over 110 plus innings. So it's not like this is a new thing. But the lack of missing bats, the fact that has no clue where the ball's going ever. He's getting 2.8% K minus BB right now. Didn't think we'd say this about Mick Abel. Really didn't. I'm very concerned right now with the entire profile. And there's something deeper going on here. I'm just not sure what.
Yeah, it's been, like I said, this has been a downward spiral for a couple of years now. So, yeah, to say I'm concerned is an understatement. My concern level, honestly, of 1 to 10 is about a 14 right now. My concern level pretty much matches his walk rate percentage, we'll put it that way. So not good for Mick Abel right now. Last one is interesting one to put on this list because he hasn't pitched in about a month and a half now. But that's Brock Porter. Made 3 starts earlier this year and was walking everybody. Had 13 walks in just 8 1/3 innings. And he's been not pitching. He's been in Arizona for the last couple of months now. He's still only 21 years old, but it's a guy that I thought was a good talking point because he came into the minors with so much upside, so much hype, and they weren't sure they're going to – he was one of those guys where, oh, does he not sign? Does he go to school? And, you know, the Rangers got it done here, got him a fourth-round pick in the 2022 draft and got him signed. It was, hey, great on them. They're being applauded for it. But it's been an up-and-down career for him so far. And then this year, definitely a down year so far. So, Chris, what are we making of Brock Porter now? Obviously, we've seen very small glimpses of the upside. So I don't want to write him off yet. He still just turned 21 about a week and a half ago on June 3rd. But there's a lot to work on here with Brock Porter. So he's just an interesting one to rank right now. Like, where do you have him right now? And what are you doing with him in Dynasty?
Yeah, he's really tough to figure out and evaluate right now. He is 234 in my prospect rankings. It's a pretty sizable drop from where he started the year. He was borderline top 100 to begin the year. And he's just fallen off quite hard. Got sent to the dev list. Was slated to see him live. He was going to see him. And then the week before they were going to be here, Hickory was going to be down in Greenville. He got sent to the dev list. And so he's still working in the backfields on stuff, but it was, you know, not great. There's only 3 starts. So we don't want to make a lot of 3 starts, but there were some major struggles with the command. Couldn't throw strikes for anything. Didn't miss bats. 13 walks and 8 1/3 is bad, but I've mentioned strike rate several times, and I'll mention it again because 46%, that's league average is 63. So he had no clue where any pitch was going. And I hope that he bounces back because the talent's there. The talent is very much there with a fastball, slider, and changeup, all really good pitches, and all just seemed lost. I hope that he finds his way. there's been plenty of arms that have gone the dev list and worked, but also, man, I don't know. Texas pitch dev is weird. I don't know what else to say, but look at Jack Leiter. Kumar Rocker obviously injured, but like some weird stuff going on there. And I hope they can fix Brock Porter, but there's really been like nothing at all out there on him of what's going on. I'm going to do some digging, asking around. But yeah, it's been pretty weird and silent on Brock Porter.
Yeah, I was actually, when we were just talking about him, I was looking for some updates. And yeah, it's just in a quick search on Twitter and stuff. It's, you can't really find anything. So it's, you got to really dig deep there. But I got him in, where do I have him? I think I said I'm like 180 something. Let me double check that. 176. So I think we both have him close. But yeah, this is a guy that if we don't see some positive things from him soon, like he's a keep dropping and be outside 300 pretty quickly here. Still holding some hope here because the upside is still pretty high. Like I mentioned, the stuff at times has been really good. Like that was the reason why he was such a coveted pitching prospect a couple years ago in the draft. And I'm holding hope that guy still shows up at some point. But you know, like you mentioned, Chris, like Texas's pitching development has not really been the greatest. Let's look back here. I'm just pulling up like some of their top pitching prospects from 2022. And Leiter has been super inconsistent. Cole Wynn has fallen off a ton. Owen White has fallen off a ton. Roby's not in the system anymore. Benasco was a pretty decent pitching prospect for them who didn't really work out. Rocker, you mentioned, has been hurt. So they don't really have a lot of wins in the pitching department. Hitting, yes. They've done well developing hitters. But, yeah, pitching hasn't really been the greatest for them. So makes you a little bit more concerned for Brock Porter. But that will wrap up the show. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Go check out both of our prospect rankings updates over on the dynastydugout.com and toolshiftfantasy.com. And we will see you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.